you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
It's done by a person wholeheartedly. It suggests a number of things. But this morning, I just want to give you a couple of definitions and synonyms of what it means to be wholehearted. First of all, when someone is doing something wholeheartedly, it says that they are sincere. It says that they're not fake, not genuine. They're not fronting. They're giving you what's real. They are sincere. And you can fake for so long being sincere. But after time, you'll be able to tell if a person is truly real or not. And it's my prayer that in everything we do in life that we be genuine, we be authentic, we be real, we be sincere folk. But when a person is doing something wholeheartedly, it also says that they are not slacking in their efforts. They're not slacking. They're just not going to cut corners. They're going to give you their best effort. They're not going to do something just to try to impress. No, they're going to do something with all of their ability. They're not going to slack. And I've got to be honest with you. There are just some things in my life I have been slack at. And I've tried to act like it was my best. But I knew deep down I was tripping. And I know I'm not the only one. Have you ever been slack in some area of your life? Shout your answer. Finally, when a person is doing something wholeheartedly, especially from a biblical standpoint, listen to me good. When someone is doing something wholeheartedly, they are doing it based upon Scripture. Well, I know Baker giving me his best because what he's doing, it lines up with the Word. God knows when you are doing your best because he can see that what you're doing lines up with his Word. But on the contrary, God knows when Baker is slacking. God knows when Baker is not sincere in what he is doing. But Baker's not the only one. We could take Baker out and put your name there. God knows when you're not sincere. God knows when you're slacking in prayer. You're not sincere when you hug somebody. Hey, and there's not no real sincere love being exchanged. Look at somebody say, God know everything. And he judges us based upon Scripture. So, when something is done wholeheartedly, it's first sincere. We're not going to be slacking, and we're doing it based upon Scripture. The one thing, as people of God, we need to be concerned about doing that which is with all of our heart has to do with our worship. We need to demonstrate as young people, young adults and adults, that we are wholeheartedly worshiping the Lord. Now, most folk just think worship has to do with, come on, just lift your hands. No, that's part of it, but that is not worship in totality when you consider Scripture. Worship, young people, has a number of meanings and definitions, but I want you to notice my personal definition this morning. Worship has to do with persistent devotion to God in how we think, in what we say, and in our deeds or choices. Persistent devotion to God in how we think, talk, and act. Persistent devotion. I got to be persistent because I have some days where I come up short. I miss the mark. But Lord, I'm really striving to please you. And I'm not trying to please you, Lord, just when I get to church and get on the instrument. I'm not just a Sunday Christian. I'm not trying to worship you, God, just when I get to church by waving my hand. No, I'm being persistent in my devotion every day. Lord, I'm striving to keep my mind on you. No matter what I go through in life as a young person, as a young adult, Lord, I'm keeping my mind stayed on you. I got problems in my life, Lord. Persecution. Lord, I'm experiencing pain in my body, and I could devote my thoughts to that. But because I am a worshiper, I'm going to keep my mind stayed on you. Lord, I could talk about this. I could complain about that. I could speak death about this, about myself, my situation. But Lord, I'm devoted to you. So I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be pleasing unto you. So I'm watching the words that I speak. I'm a worshiper, God. I understand that death and life are in the power of my tongue. I can form things with my mouth that I can't see yet, Lord. And because I'm a worshiper, I watch the words that I speak. I don't say things like it is what it is. I watch the words that I speak. I understand what I see is temporary. It is not what I see. No, what I see, the Bible teaches, is temporary. I don't say I'm struggling as a college student. No, I watch the words that I say. I don't say that I'm broke and I'm busted and disgusted. I don't say that. I watch the words that I speak. Why? I am a worshiper. I know what amen means. Amen means so be it. I know what hallelujah means. Hallelujah means praise. So I use these words. Why? I am a worshiper. And my mouth, Lord, is devoted to you. I can't be rapping what the world is rapping. This mouth belongs to you. But when you are a wholehearted worshiper or a true worshiper, you have persistent devotion to God also in your deeds, in the choices that you make. Lord, I could go to the party, but I'm a worshiper. What do I have to do at that party? And I know it's not going to be glorifying you. I want to go, but I got to watch myself. I'm a true worshiper. Lord, I feel like smoking. I feel like snorting. I feel like doing what I have no business doing. But Lord, I gotta watch my ways. I gotta watch my choices because I am a true worshiper. I ain't getting too much help in here, but it's good teaching and it's right. So you might as well help me fill in the blank. You gotta watch your deeds if you are a true worshiper. And remember, you gotta be persistent. Because some days it ain't that you slip and make a mistake. Some days you just choose to do wrong. Some days you just choose to do sin. Why? Sin is pleasurable. And so you have to thank God for his grace, young folk. You have to thank God for his mercy. And you say, well, Lord, I messed up. But whatever you do, don't take the Holy Spirit away from me. Lord, whatever you do, help me to keep my mind. Whatever you do, help me to get myself back right. I'm persistent, Lord. David was a man, the Bible decrees, after God's own heart. God considered David to be a true worshiper. But when you study the life of David, David made some jacked up choices in his life. But as soon as David saw, young folk, that he was out of the will of God, as a true worshiper, as a righteous person, he was quick to get up. He said, no, I got to get this right, Lord. And see, that's what a true worshiper does. They are conscious of the choices that they make. There's this new movie out. I seen the trailer. Well, no, I ain't watched the trailer. I seen the advertisement for me. I think for it. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. The devil don't make us do nothing. No, God gives us the ability to make choices. The devil ain't gonna make you do it. And quit saying that. The devil is busy. Yeah, but he still ain't gonna make you do nothing. It's our choice to be devilish. Am I right about it? So I have to be conscious and devoted to God in how I think. Help me out. In how I talk and in how I act. I was like, Lord, I just really hope we don't have no trendsetters at a place of refuge that's up here talking like Megan Thee Stallion on that thought stuff. You know, she got a new song, That Thought, and it's an S word. I said, I really hope we ain't got young folk bumping this in their car, shaking their butt to it, making their booty clap and do all. I hope, Lord, we got some young girls that's some true worshipers. And I hope we got some young men that ain't going through TikTok watching these girls shake it and do it and hitting the heart talking about they like it. You got to guard your eyes. That's what David said. David talked about, Lord, I got to watch what I'm looking at. I'm a true worshiper. How you call yourself a true worshiper and you choosing to like it on social media? You a true worshiper. Woo, look at that booty. I like that. And you hit the like button? True worshiper? Two traits of typo. A, wholehearted worshiper. That's a typo. Let's look at two quick traits of a wholehearted worshiper before we deal with the meat of the text. Y'all still with me? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Now, I want us to go to Matthew 4. This first trait is a word that you will hear and probably have heard at a place of refuge numerous times. And some of our younger saints, you need to learn this word. And some of our older young adults, we need to make sure we hang on to what we have been taught as a true worshiper as it pertains to this first trait. Are y'all with me? Okay. So it's going to be, for some, it's going to be a different sounding word, but you need to learn this word and hang on to this tradition that the Bible teaches and what we practice or what we practice and what we teach here at a place of refuge. Look at Matthew 4 and 10. Y'all with me? All right, Matthew 4 and 10. Now, this is Jesus speaking to Satan himself. And it says in Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him, what's that next word? Only you shall serve. When it comes to being a wholehearted worshiper, we must have a monotheistic mindset. Help me say that word. Say monotheistic. One more time, everybody at the MSW. What type of mindset do we need to have? A say, I must have a monotheistic mindset. Monotheistic means one God. I must have a one God mindset. See, there are more than one God, or there are numerous gods in the land. But the Bible teaches we must choose whom we will serve. Jesus later said in Matthew, young people, Matthew 6, he said, look, you cannot serve two masters. You can't have more than one God and call yourself a true worshiper. No, can't do it. But it's popular. People will get up, you'll see them on social media, television. Oh, it's a blessing from God. And then in their next post, they smoking weed. Hold up, they got more than one God. It's only one true and living God. And his name is Jesus. His name means salvation. And according to the Bible, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. So Jesus is God, the true and living God. And so we got to have a one God mindset, a monotheistic mindset. We don't serve the God of heaven and earth and the club God. No, I don't serve the God of the Bible and the drug God or the weed God. No. I got one God. I don't serve the sex God and the God of the Bible. I got one God. Now, my God tells me how to have sex, when to have sex, what not to do during sex. My God tells me things like that. Yeah. Our God teaches us, men, you don't touch a woman when she's on her cycle. Men, look, you need to have for yourself one wife. Men, you need to love her as Christ loved the church. Men, you need to love the young woman of your youth. Oh, God, let me stop. That's marriage seminar. The Bible tells us how to treat a woman. That's our God. He covers every base. We don't need to have 4 and 5 different gods. We need to have a monotheistic mindset. But see, the world will try to tell you, look, live your truth. Do what you want to do. No, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and then follow him. We can't follow Jesus having 2 and 3 other gods. No, our God is a jealous God. It's him only. And so if you are saying, look, I know Jesus is the Lord. I know he God. But I got some other gods I'm serving. You need to loose them. You need to repent and stop serving them idol gods. Because you're not truly saved or a true worshiper, according to scripture, unless you got one God. One. Somebody say uno. That's right, one. And so we have to have that mindset. And you see it. Write this down. I'm not going to go there. But in Daniel 3, that was the big problem. King Nebuchadnezzar tried to get these young folk to serve other gods. But these young folk were saying, no, we serve one God. Now, if you're going to kill us, go on and kill us. But let me tell you this, we ain't bowing down because the God we serve, he can deliver us. He can bring us out of your hand. And he did just that. And the man that was trying to get them to serve many gods, he came back and said in verse 28, bless the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These boys have trusted and served their God only. And then he turned around and said, anybody, he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, anybody that come against them or their God, I'm going to kill them. You go back and read Daniel 3. These boys got a strong testimony because they said, we're only going to serve one God. And that's how God wants us to be, young folk. There's no way you can say, yeah, I come to church and I lift up the name of Jesus. But then when the Lord looks at your social media, you all into the Nicki Minaj, the Megans, the other ones, the Young Mars and all that stuff. You into all of that? The Pooh Shiesties and all of them? You into all of that? Know what they preaching and everything. No, what's going on is you serving multiple gods, and you need to get saved. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. And Baker just said, you need to get saved. Same thing. Same thing. See, my worship goes further than just what I do here in church. My worship goes to how I handle my money, the music I listen to, how I treat folk, how I act at home, how I treat my siblings, my attitude, and so forth. All of that has to do with our worship. And one apostle dropped the bomb. He said, look, how can you love or be committed to God who you can't see? How? You can't even see God and calling yourself a worshiper. But things and people that you can see, you treat them totally. Mm-mm. It's got to be on the same page. It's got to be according to God's word. So we got to have what kind of mindset? A mono. Second one, let's go to Deuteronomy. Are y'all still with me? Let me tell y'all a little secret while y'all turn to Deuteronomy 30. Sometimes even when the word hits your own toe, you can still talk back in service. You can still talk back in service and ask the questions. Come on, we all going to get hit sooner or later, right? So come on and get with me. Deuteronomy 30. And notice verse 17. The second trait a wholehearted worshiper has. Look at verse number 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. 18. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over to the Jordan to go in and possess. So the Lord told him, you get to worshiping any other gods, you're going to perish. But how, Lord, what happens? Folks do not have an unmovable heart. That's what we got to have. We got to have, as wholehearted worshipers, we have to have what type of heart? An unmovable heart. Look at how he puts it. In verse 17, if your heart turns away so you don't hear and you are drawn away. See, we see that happening right now in 2021. Folks' hearts are being turned away and they're not hearing the word and their hearts are being drawn away. See, if you're a true worshiper, you're not going to let your heart be moved. We're going to hear a lot of things in this life, but we can't let our heart be moved from what we have heard come from God's prophet. I got to pause right here and say it again. There's some good teaching right here. It's some good teaching going on at the MSW this morning, young folk. We don't need to have our heart, look at this, turned or drawn away. I don't want to hear what the preacher talking about no more. I want to stay at home. I want to find something else to do instead of go to church. You have to be careful, young folk. As a wholehearted worshiper, our heart needs to be fixed on the word. We don't need to let anybody come in and take that word out of our heart and cause us to start worshiping other gods. Paul said it like this, in the last days. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you. Look at this. Look at this. Same thing. Paul had to pick up on this. Y'all look at the wall right here. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Why, Paul? Giving heed to, help me out, MSW, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Same thing. Heart drawn away. Folk, listening to seducing or deceiving spirits. Whoever thought we would be in a day where some saints would consider what they hear on the internet and TV to be more valuable than sound doctrine, than what they have been hearing from God's prophet. We are in that day. Whoever thought we would be in a day where young folk would be more moved by entertainment than the anointing? Young folk get excited about entertainment, but the anointing don't move them. Woo! We in that day right now. Folks' hearts are growing cold toward the will and the things of God. But young folk, we got to keep our heart on fire. Every time we hear the word, our heart needs to burn. We need to be to the point to where we always have a hunger and a thirst for the word or for righteousness, young folk. Because I'm telling you, it's going down. It's some things that's being set up right now to deceive, the Bible says, the very elect, to try to mess up young folk that's been in church for 5 and 10 years, grown folk that's been in ministry for 20 and 30 years. The Bible talks about how in the last days it would be deceiving spirits, seducing spirits, and young folk, we can't let this stuff grab a hold to our heart. We got to let God know that we are some wholehearted worshipers. Lord, for you I live, for you I die. If any man come preaching any other gospel except the one I done heard, let him be accursed. Lord, I got to have your word. I don't care what these celebrities, these entertainers, these politicians are saying. I got that Daniel mindset, Lord. If I got to go in the lion's den, so be it. But I got to endure until the end. And y'all looking stiff, but I'm talking holiness. I'm talking the word. How many true worshipers we got in here? Following Jesus, young folk, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. It's going to come with a cost. It come with a cup. And I'm telling you, even as a minister, if we continue doing what we've been taught, man, we're going to be persecuted. You can't keep preaching a gospel like this and folk not get mad. And we in that day. We in that day right now. I just saw they passed a law out in California. The governor came out forbidding government employees from traveling to states that do not support the homosexual agenda. Passed the law. I said, good God, we in the day, right? We in that Daniel 6 day, right? Right now. Right now. See, now is the time and the hour is. If you're a true worshiper, this is where it needs to come for. Right now, as a young person. And so when we consider our text, y'all quiet, y'all still with me? In our text, back in John chapter number 4, Jesus is talking to a woman who's with a man and has been with some other men that wasn't her husband. And I wonder why she was at the well getting some water. I wonder what had her tired, what had her thirsty. I'm just wondering. But this woman had been known for being with several men. And so she got to talking to Jesus, and she tried to act like she was a worshiper, or she got real religious in her conversation. And Jesus began to teach her about being what I call a wholehearted worshiper or a true worshiper. And so in his conversation, he gives three truths that we need to learn and apply to our lives as young men and young women of God. I'm going to give you these three, and then we're going to be done. Y'all still with me? All right. Let's go back to John 4 and notice our verses. What's the first verse I gave y'all? John 4 and what? 22. Y'all didn't sound too excited. Let's try that again. What verse? 4 and what? 22. And look at what it says. Jesus said, "You worship what you do not know." We know what we worship. When it comes to being a wholehearted worshiper, young folk, the first trait that we need to demonstrate is that we possess knowledge. He said, look, you calling yourself a worshiper, but you don't know. He said, but we do know. So if I'm a true worshiper or a wholehearted worshiper as a young person, I need to know what and who I worship. I need to have some knowledge. A true worshiper is not ignorant. They have, help me, knowledge. You are aware of what is important. You are aware of what is essential and what is significant. Yeah, you could tell me 4 or 5 players on your favorite team. That's cool. But that is not the type of knowledge he's talking about. You can tell me where to go to get some good shoes at a good price. That's cool. But that's not the type of things that he is talking about. Young folk, as true worshipers, need to have divine knowledge. You need to know how to pray. You need to know how to pray. Beyond now, I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's cool at certain stages. But when you become true worshiper, you know how to ask. You know how to give thanks. You know how to bind the enemy. You know how to make your requests made known. You know that you in the prayer in the name of Jesus. You got, help me, knowledge. You know what to do when God blesses you with earned income. You know what percentage God need to give off top. 10% plus a good offering. See, she got knowledge. She got knowledge. You know when you do wrong, if you're a true worshiper, you need to get that thing. You need to get that right. You told mama something you shouldn't have said, you need to get that right. Why? Because you know that the Lord, your God, he said to honor your parents who are in the Lord. You know that. Mama, I was mad. I said what I shouldn't have said. Will you forgive me? And she'll say yes, because she say, then you say, well, can I get off punishment? And she'll probably say no. But at least you got that thing what? You got it right. You got it right. You know. You have knowledge. You know how to come to church and listen to the word and pull out what you need and put it into action. You ain't like some young folk that come to church and fall asleep. No, you know man shall not live by what? But by every word that comes from. See, you got knowledge. You know. It's important. You don't play on your phone in church. Is playing on your phone okay? Yeah, but not in this setting. You need something from the word so you can live. And see, you're a true worshiper. You're a true worshiper when you have knowledge. And where does knowledge come from? Let's see if y'all know. Knowledge primarily comes from God's shepherd. Jeremiah 3:15, write that down. And it says, the Lord will give us shepherds according to his heart that will feed us with knowledge and what? Understanding. Young ladies, when you meet a young man and he tell you he good people and he go to church and you ask, well, what's your pastor name? Well, I ain't really got one. That's a bad sign right there. He cute, but that ain't no good sign. That ain't no good sign of no true worship. And you have to weigh that out. Okay, cute, but ain't got no pastor. Ain't saved. Cute, Lordy, cute. They don't make them like that in Carrollton. But you got to believe that there is somebody made like that in Carrollton. Or somebody that's going to find you. They may be from Detroit. I don't know. But he who finds you, let them find you. They may be from Detroit or Rootville, wherever they from. You have to believe, well, Lord, they come from Rootville, they'll find me. Because it may be some old money in Rootville. It might be some old saved money in Rootville. She said, he got some land. But you got to have knowledge. And where does knowledge come from, young folk? God's. Come on, fill in the blank. This SAT type question. Knowledge comes from God's shepherd. So that means a true worshiper needs to have a connection to the source of knowledge. You don't need to call and text me every day, but you need to have a connection to your pastor. You need to have a connection. You need to know that teaching. Well, I know my pastor believes what the Bible says when it comes to prayer. I know my pastor believes what the Bible says when it comes to giving. And so you take on your shepherd's spirit. That's what a true worshiper does. You have knowledge. Now, you do have a choice. You can be on that dumb stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. In every church, you got members and visitors that's on that dumb stuff. You got some that just do not hunger for knowledge. You got folk that come to church for other reasons. So let me show you what the Bible says. Y'all read these notes. Y'all ready? It's in English. So I want y'all to read it loud, okay? Y'all ready? It's in English. Y'all speak English? Y'all speak English? See? No? We? Do y'all speak English? Good God. Y'all can't even answer that. Read this next note. Ready? Go. Fools hate. Try it again. Ready? Fools hate. So if you say, look, I'm a worshiper, but I don't want to hear that. Well, you're a fool. According to the Bible. Not according to Baker, according to the Bible. So let me go to Proverbs 1:22. Come on, smart folk, let's read this. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. And help me, fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. So a fool can't be no true worship because they hate knowledge. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many. Look what happens to the fool. Help me, MSW. But fools die. Why? For lack of wisdom. Wisdom ain't nothing but knowledge and understanding. So if you are somebody that don't want to hear knowledge from God's shepherd, you're a fool, and eventually you're going to die or come to ruin. Second truth he gives about, that was kind of cold-blooded how I just ended that, ain't it? Second truth he gives about a wholehearted worshiper. He says that a true worshiper worships in two ways, in spirit and in truth. Spirit, young folk, has to do with your attitude. Let me rest right here. Let me put the car in park right here. I've been driving. Let me put it in park right here. True worshipers have the right attitude. If you are a true worshiper, you have to have the right attitude when it comes to pleasing God. The way some of us at this church praise the Lord doing praise and worship service, I have a right to question, are you a wholehearted worshiper? I got a right to ask that because some of us seem like we be so disconnected doing praise and worship service. But see, a true worshiper gonna have the right attitude. But on the flip side, we got some young folk, young adults, and adults that be going through some things but still got the right attitude. I'm talking about at this church. We got both. We got some, I don't care how hard and how long they sing a song, they ain't going to clap. They ain't going to move. If you sing that song, talk about some leap and turning victory, they ain't going to participate. They ain't going to do it. But on the other hand, you got some folk in here that be sick in their body and not only come to church, but still be putting them hands together, still be playing the instruments, still be doing the dance. They just got to let their God know how much they love them. They understand they have been bought with a price, and if the Lord is requiring some praise or a sacrifice of praise, they going to give it to them. You got some young folk and some young adults and some adults in this church that miss work because of what they go through in their body, but they still going to make sure they bring God his money. They still going to come to practice. They still going to show up to the service and give God a sacrifice of praise at this church. That's what you call worshiping God with the right attitude or in spirit. You got some folk at this church that'll leave here and tell their friends about Jesus. They worshiping God with the right attitude. It's just not a church thing. It's a life thing. We got to have the right attitude. Young folk, if you nice to first lady at church, you need to be nice to your mama at home. You got nice things to say about the preachers at church, you need to have some nice things to say about your own parents and sisters and brothers at home. You got the right attitude. That's some good teaching right there. That's some good teaching right there. You got the right attitude about money. You just don't spend $300-$400 on a purse or a pair of shoes. You got the same attitude. Well, if the Lord asks for it at the church and I got it, I'll put it on the altar. You got the right attitude. You don't come in here talking about all they want is money, but you just spent $300-$400 on your girlfriend. But then have a problem with us asking for a generous offering at the church? No, you got to have the right attitude. Gotta have the right attitude. Gotta have the right attitude about prayer, young folk. If you can watch a movie that lasts 2.5 hours, don't get up, hold your pee-pee, don't even go to the bathroom. Sit there and watch the whole 2.5 hours and just be in it. Surely you can come to God's house, hear the word for 45. Surely you can give God some quality prayer time at home and not worship Netflix with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Because how many know we'll do it? We'll do it. And get mad when somebody come in our room and interrupt us or be on the Wi-Fi and our stuff be buffering. Get mad. Will you please get off the Wi-Fi so I can finish watching my show? Is anything wrong with watching shows? No. But when we get mad at folk interrupting our show But we don't give God quality prayer time. We halfway pay attention in church. It's saying that we not truly worshiping God with all of our spirit. And I know it's tight, but if Pastor Wright, come on and say, that's some good teaching. That's some good teaching right there. Gotta have the right attitude. But then he says, worship him in truth. It needs to be according to the word. Whatever we do, it needs to be according to the, help me, to the word. That's what worshipers do. That's what we do. If we wrong, we get it right, because that's what the word tells us to do. If somebody did us wrong, we forgive them. We be mad, but we need to forgive them. Why? We want our God in heaven to forgive us. And how many know it takes something? That's why I ain't getting too many amens of Pastor, you hitting it this morning, but is it right? And see, this is what God is calling all of us to. And to whom much is given, much is required. There's a certain level God requiring of me as pastor. He ain't going to require of you, but he is going to require something of you. Why? Much has been given to me, so much is required. You got your own apartment, your own home. Guess what? More is going to be required of you than your sibling who's still living at home. More is required. You getting ready to go off to school with your sister, your brother, they in the eighth grade, more is going to be required of you. So you got to have yourself together. Because if not, your heart going to be turned. And somebody going to turn you out. So, first trait of a wholehearted worshiper is that we possess what? Knowledge. The second trait, we worship the Father in what? And in truth. The spirit has to do with our. Truth has to do with the word. Okay? One reason I critique the ministers and YLT members and musicians is because I want our worship to be in truth. If I saw you get up here or heard you get up here and did something that wasn't according to truth, I'm going to say something. I'm your pastor. I love you. And I want what we offer to God to be in truth. If I tell the minister, look, you got 5 minutes, I'm expecting what? 5 minutes. If I tell the praise team, sing 8 songs, they better sing what? Now, they can sing. They can get up here and sing the 1 minute version, and then they can come back and say, well, Pastor, we gave you 8. And I say, well, it was in truth. You obeyed them that had the what? Rule over you. If I ask you to pray, but it's not according to the word, and we say something, it's not to get on you. It's to help you to do better. Because we want God to answer our prayers. We getting the understanding? Last truth we need to understand about a wholehearted worshiper is that's what God is seeking. Wholehearted worshipers or true worshipers are sought by the Father. This is what God is looking for. And the tone of the text is, it's almost like it's hard for him to find it. This is what he is searching for. This is what he is expecting. This is what the Father looks for. And let me tell you something, young folk, in my clothes, when God finds a young person or an adult that is persistently devoted to him, God coming with some rewards. When God finds you walking by faith and worshiping him and how you think, talk, and act, I said God is coming with some divine rewards. And these type rewards, young folk, he ain't gonna wait till you get to your 20s and 30s to loose. No, he'll do it for you while you're young. And there's some of us that's in our 30s and 40s or beyond, he gonna do it for us in our age as well when he finds true worshipers. I'm not gonna go to it, but y'all need to write this down. Y'all need to read these 7 verses or 8 verses this week. 2 Kings 20:1-7. The Holy Spirit told me to deal with this as an example in this last point. Hezekiah was a man that was righteous and no doubt a true worshiper. He trusted the Lord. The same God we serve, he served. He was such a worshiper that he tried to get the people that were under his rule to trust the Lord. And so throughout his lifetime, when you read about Hezekiah, you see how much he loved the Lord. Wasn't a perfect man, had some mistakes along the way, but he was persistent. And so when you get to 2 Kings 20, young folk, listen to this. The Bible says that he was sick unto death. Something happened to Hezekiah. He got sick in his body, and he was about to die. And the Bible teaches that the Lord is not going to do anything except he reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophet. And so you remember how early I told you how a true worshiper has a connection to God's prophet? Y'all remember that? His relationship to God's prophet was with a man named Isaiah. Isaiah was his prophet. And so Isaiah heard the word of the Lord and went and told Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're about to die. Turned around and walked out and left. Hezekiah heard what the man of God said, but he knew within his heart that he was a wholehearted worshiper. Hezekiah, the Bible teaches that he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And he said, Lord, you know how I have done good in your sight. Lord, you know how I have served you. And the text goes on to say, young folk, that he began to just cry unto the Lord. He began to worship the Lord so much so that the Bible says that God heard his cry and saw his tears. As Isaiah was leaving the palace, the word of the Lord came to Hezekiah and told him, go back and tell Hezekiah, I done heard his prayer. I done seen his cry. Basically, I done seen you worship me. Go back and tell him, look, I'm finna add 15 years to your life. Go back and tell him, I'ma heal him. And all your enemies, especially the king of Assyria, I'm going to defend the city from him. Go back and tell him. He went and told him, and along the way took some figs, boiled them, and put them on Hezekiah's body. And there began his healing and his prospering. See, when God finds a true worshiper, he coming with some rewards. And I want to conclude the message by saying, young people, if you are a true worshiper, continue being that. Because God is going to do something bigger and better in your life. Hold it. Just like Hezekiah, in the near future. Not just in the distant, but recently. God is going to do something for you in your life, in your body, in your house, in your business. Whatever it is you put your hand to, God is going to bless you. Why? You are a true worshiper. Whatever it is you're dealing with, it's going to work out for your good. Why? You're a true worshiper. He's coming with rewards. He's coming with rewards. And I'm going to tell you, just like Hezekiah, and as the Spirit of God is revealing, it's going to be unexpected. God, Hezekiah didn't know God was going to send Isaiah back in there. It was an unexpected blessing. And I'm here to tell the MSW, if you are a true or wholehearted worshiper, you need to get ready for an unexpected blessing. Unexpected. Not on your schedule. Not on your program. Not in something that you're looking for. It's going to be unexpected. Unexpected. You need to look for small unexpected blessings. You need to look for big unexpected blessings. You need to go to the job this week looking for an unexpected blessing. When you go to the red box, look for an unexpected blessing. When you go to Walgreens, if you are a true worshiper, you need to look for something unexpected. When you're going there to talk to your supervisor this week about your work, look for an unexpected blessing. When you go for the interview, look for an unexpected blessing. When you go to get your car fixed, look for an unexpected blessing. When you go to the doctor for your checkup, look for an unexpected blessing. True worshipers got unexpected blessings on the way. And I'm telling you right now, the same way it happened for Hezekiah, young folk, it's going to happen for us. And it's not going to be in the distant future. It's going to be coming up here soon. 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 God is revealing this to me while I'm up here. This wasn't something I prepared for. I am listening to the Lord. You need to expect it soon. Unexpected blessings for true or wholehearted worshipers. Do you receive it? Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the topic. Hallelujah. I receive it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to the Way to Go.